Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. This week, Alyssa Mastromonaco, Michaela Watkins, and Grace Parra join to tackle the following questions. How do you deal with disturbing allegations against somebody who was supposed to be your guy? Wouldn't it be a relief after the pandemic if we could all just keep not giving a shit about touching up our roots? And can cruises finally be done now? Answers to all this and more right now. Before we get to the show, here's what's going on with me. I was a little worried about the rationing of paper products, and I thought I would run out of napkins, and I realized that if you're depressed and wearing sweatpants, you've always got one big napkin on the lower half of your body. So a little lifestyle tip from me to you. Second thing I realized, it is time to talk about the allegations against Joe Biden. Obviously, I have a lot of complicated feelings around it. It's a complicated issue, and more facts keep coming out about it. But I can't think of a person I'd rather talk to about this issue or any issue of similar levels of complication than my friend, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff under President Barack Obama, and broth enthusiast, Alyssa Mastromonaco. Hey, Alyssa.
Hi, Erin.
You know, during quarantine time, I've had a lot of time to just kind of sit with my thoughts, and I had a realization the other day.
What was that?
You know how a lot of people find certain words gross? Like
definitely.
Moist.
Definitely. Moist is the worst.
Everybody hates moist. I came up with a new one.
What?
Quench.
Disgusting.
Quench.
Disgusting.
It's a gross word.
There's no reason to use it ever. But wait, what happened that you used or your pandemic partner used that word that it revolted you?
I think I saw it on packaging for a sports drink about it being a quenching. Oh. We got to come up with a different word.
Well, or you could do what I do. And instead of drinking Gatorade during the pandemic, I've turned to Pedialyte.
I've been drinking so much Pedialyte. Yeah.
Honestly, it's a game changer.
Let's get into a story that's kind of been percolating for a while, but we haven't talked about. And that's the story about Tara Reid's assault and harassment allegations against former vice president and current apparent Democratic nominee for president, Joe Biden. So we've had a lot of listeners reach out to us and point out that we haven't brought it up. And before we start talking about it, I want to kind of explain my reasoning for not wanting to bring it up. And then Alyssa, you can kind of talk about yours, because it's not that I only believe, I think the simple baby way to accuse people of somebody is to say that you only believe accusations that are against people who aren't your guy. But that's not the case. One of the primary lessons that I learned from Me Too and that moment in media is that it is really important to take women's accusations seriously, but it is also super important that people follow up on those accusations with a rigorous journalistic process that looks for the truth. And one thing that was lacking early in the story was there wasn't a ton of trustworthy reporting on it beyond something that had been said on a podcast that is a pretty partisan podcast in favor of the candidate running against Joe Biden. So the story was out there, and I didn't really want to weigh in on whether or not I felt like it was true or not until there was some reporting on it. So a couple weeks ago, the New York Times did some reporting on it, and the New York Times reporting made it about clear as mud, because there was a whole bunch of parts of the story that felt like they hadn't quite been backed up. There were a lot of holes in it. And some of the story didn't quite make sense. The fact that she had been a Putin sympathizer kind of raised some red flags. And so there was enough there that I didn't know what to think given the information that I had. But this week, there was a story that came out, and this reporting found that a neighbor of Tara Reid's, at a few years after the alleged assault happened in 1993, was confided in. So she says that Tara Reid told her in the 90s that this had happened. So it kind of ratcheted the story up to something that I think deserves more discussion. Like, it is pretty obvious that Tara Reid felt in the early 90s that she was uncomfortable working for Joe Biden. She felt that she complained about it and that where she was retaliated against. And she told other people at the time that she felt that those things had happened. And in addition, now she says that she was sexually assaulted by Joe Biden. And she told people at the time that it had happened. So this, to me, elevates it to a point where there's a lot of reporting around it and we need to discuss it. So that's my thought process to not doing it until now. Alyssa, I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, you and I discussed this for weeks because we had a lot of the same concerns. And also, just even going back further in time, you know, the first time we heard her allegations was like a year ago, I think. And she had accused him of touching her inappropriately, like on her shoulders. And I think her head. And, you know, that rang true. A lot of women had said that they felt that his, even if in his mind he was expressing sympathy or empathy or trying to comfort someone, that they found that level of intimate touch off-putting, uncomfortable, and offensive. And, you know, that's kind of where the story, and I think that at the time he did sort of a, you know, his I guess, best self-defense for that behavior, that's what people come to him for. And so not that that's acceptable. If people don't want you to touch them, you don't touch them. It's fucking wrong. But that's where the story started. And then when it came back, the New York Times, like you said, you know, the New York Times story had some holes in it. The Washington Post had talked about that when they reached out to her brother, I think it was, that he basically corroborated the uncomfortable touching, but not the sort of assault part that she had recently come out with. And yeah. You know, it's the story, the Business Insider story that came out this week has parts that we have not heard, which I think shows that one way or another, they're still reporting an investigation that should continue on this. Because, well, one, I mean, just to be totally frank, because I would never want to lie to our listeners, I mean, I had an office next to Joe Biden for like 5 years in the White House. And he was someone who was always very supportive and empathetic. That doesn't mean that these things couldn't be true. But I think that for someone who had given me so many benefits of the doubt when I was like a young person who didn't have what was considered historically appropriate experience mm-hmm. for the job I had, that I didn't want to rush to judgment. And so I think that the investigation that's continued is clearly very worthwhile. There's still more stuff coming out. And so that's why we decided to talk about it this week. But I mean, I'd be lying if I said I knew the right thing to say or that my feelings were totally clear and straightforward. But yeah, that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. And I think you raise an important point about how people tend to be more willing to believe accusations that confirm their pre-existing beliefs and less likely to believe accusations that counter their pre-existing beliefs. Now, we have plenty of reasons to cite Joe Biden for having some problematic interactions with women in the past. Like the Anita Hill thing is still something that I have a hard time with when it
definitely
comes to him. And his kind of history of being a little overly touchy with women who were uncomfortable by that touch, that those things are fully problematic. And I think that one thing that I'm seeing right now is a lot of people who are saying, well, when Brett Kavanaugh had accusations leveled against him, liberal women were so willing to believe it, blah, 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 blah. I just want to differentiate between this and Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh, like we've discussed, Alyssa, was up for a lifetime appointment. And the issue was these accusations were out there and the Senate was doing everything it could to not investigate them. So there was no way for us to get to the truth before the man was given a job that would last for the rest of his life and have influence over everybody. So, you know, I think that it's not really fair or honest to say that this is the same thing, that right. somebody being a little bit more cautious about trying to digest information, reliable information about Joe Biden as it comes in, is somehow counter to people really wanting Christine Blasey Ford to be heard when she came forward with accusations against Brett Kavanaugh.
Right. And, you know, one of the other things too, Aaron, to that same sort of further that point, is that Christine Blasey Ford came forward, was like, I will testify in front of Congress because that's how fucking serious I believe what happened to me was. The Republicans tried to short circuit it to the point that the actual investigation they did was a fucking fraud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that this has kind of made me think about the way that I approach serious accusations against men who I'm like, oh yeah, of course they seem like the type of person that would do this. I mean, so like Joe Biden, this is like the first accusation of sexual assault against him.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of taking a lot to bring me to the point where I'm like, okay, this is part of the reality that I have to digest with Joe Biden now. Whereas like somebody like Bill Cosby or Donald Trump,
right,
who have a pattern, an established pattern of dozens of people, that to me is like a little bit easier to believe.
Not but that I it should take dozens of people.
No, not that it right. should take dozens of people, but I think that it is a serious accusation to accuse a man of sexual assault, especially when there's a lot at stake. And like I said before, I think that those accusations should always be taken seriously. They should always be looked into, and people should always try to verify them as best they can. I really hate the whole like, I've seen some like Republican grumbling on Twitter about how like Democratic women don't care if their guys are accused of sexual assault, blah, 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 blah. And I really think that it's important for people who consume news or have conversations with Republicans to dismiss bad faith actors who are only pretending to care about sexual assault when they can use it as a gotcha to their political opponents. Because honestly, their opinion doesn't matter. It could not matter less. There was a thread that Tarana Burke,
yes,
who is the originator of Me Too, she tweeted on the 28th, a 14-tweet thread, which I would encourage everybody to look up. We can link to it in the show notes. But among what she said was, survivors deserve more than being used as a political football by disinterested parties, and a culture of acknowledging harm can't exist if we continue to view sexual violence as a catastrophic outlier rather than an embedded toxic element in our culture. I think her take is really, really smart. But yeah, so.
And one of the other things, Aaron, that she says in that thread that I think has a lot of value is that she said that this could be the time for someone to understand and show how you can be both accountable and electable. And that having Joe Biden, these are my words, not hers, that having Joe Biden be electable doesn't mean for us to believe that he's electable doesn't mean that we say Tara Reid's not telling the truth, right? Or that there isn't some truth to that. And so one of the things, you know, we always talk about people doing the work, regardless, however, and I hope the investigation continues. I know in Biden's talking points, they've said they welcome the continuation of an investigation because they believe it will prove that he didn't do it. And Reid thinks that it will prove that he did do it. But regardless, I think it wouldn't be a terrible time for Biden to talk to people who have really done the work on this and understand in a more complex and nuanced way what all this means to a lot of people. You know, whether like regardless of whether he did or didn't do it, this is a discussion right now. And so it would be great if they did reach out to people like Tarana and others who have worked so hard on this to sort of do a little more work on their part to understand how hurtful and hard this is for so many people.
Yeah. And now let's go into the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Why this fucking sucks. This fucking sucks. This sucks. At this, okay, so here's where we are right now. Like, I am not going to vote for Donald Trump, but I also now have a choice between somebody who I think if he were a character in a TV show, he would be like he's like a cartoonishly evil mobster, cruel piece. He's human garbage trying to institute a family kleptocracy in the country that I love enough to want to make better. But now the person that I will have to support so that this person doesn't get reelected is somebody who I am not 100% sure didn't commit sexual assault. Like I have reasonable, you know, like I am not 100% sure that what Tara Reid said happened by the letter, but I am also not 100% sure that it didn't happen.
Right.
So like, what am I supposed, like women are such an important part of the Democratic vote. And we had such good female candidates for president to choose from. And we chose this. So what are women supposed to do right now?
I mean, I don't even know. like that's the problem. I mean, I think it's no secret to people who listen to us every week that like, we really fucking love EW. Like she's, yeah. Elizabeth Warren really fucking brought her A game. And God knows this would not be a discussion if she were the nominee. But I mean, look, it's like before we were talking earlier, you know, before I was getting ready for the show today, I see Jared Kushner on television talking about how like the medical part of this pandemic is over and how now it's to the economy. And like, we just know, we've vividly, this isn't like 2016 where you're like, Donald Trump's going to be terrible, but maybe he'll rise to the occasion. We know that that is utterly fucking impossible. And that when handed one of the only real challenges of his presidency, a pandemic that they got a heads up on months earlier and they still couldn't fucking get it together to save tens of thousands of people's lives. Like, we know exactly what the next 4 years would bring if he were reelected. Right. And So, yes, of course I am voting for him. Of course I am. That doesn't mean though, that it's not that there aren't flaws here.
Yeah, and it also really sucks for the female politicians,
yeah.
Like rising voices in the Democratic Party. Actually, you know what? I wish we could just call female politicians politicians and yeah. and men male politicians. It's going to be part of our hysteria.
But you know what, though? You know what, Aaron? The reason that it's so fucked up is because reporters are not calling male politicians to ask them how they feel about this. Because I'd actually love to know how a male senator or politician feels about this. Instead, Everyone's hunting down Kirsten Gillibrand and Amy Klobuchar and Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren and Stacey Abrams. And, you know, and it's not fair. It's like, it continues to be not fucking fair.
Yeah. And, you know, especially with like the number of rising stars in the Democratic, like the future of the Democratic Party is female. Like as if 2018 taught us anything, it's that the future of the Democratic Party voting base is female. The future of the Democratic representation in Congress and hopefully in the White House at some point is female. And now some of the work that these women are going to have to do is once again, cleaning up after men. And you brought up the Biden talking points earlier.
Yeah.
And the talking points are basically that the campaign sent to surrogates is to say that Tara Reid's story didn't happen. And look, I am not a surrogate for any campaign. But if I were given that talking point as a woman and as a feminist, I would just be like, I can't say this. I can't do this. Like that is such a, you know, old timey medieval burn the witch style response to something that should be taken seriously.
Well, and you know what's also interesting, having read that earlier this morning, it sounds as if these talking points that said surrogates should say it didn't happen went out about 2 weeks ago, give or take. And I think it was yesterday that Stacey Abrams, who through lots of reporting and interviews she's given, is clearly very into the idea of being vice president. And she very clearly answered the statement and was like, yeah, I think there should be an investigation.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, knowing that she, we don't know whether she saw those talking points, but, you know, I appreciate that she you know, continues to be true to herself and what she thinks. And like, she's not someone who will ever toe the line. And it was good to see.
Yeah. I mean, so, right. So where do you stand right now with this story? Like, how do you, I mean, I know we've talked about the fact that this sucks. Like, what more do we need to know to feel confident that what Tara Reid says happened definitely happened? And what do we need to see from a can, like, what a disaster, first of all, but what do we need to see happen in order for this to feel like it's been, like, you know, rectified,
put to bed?
What needs to happen for us to not have to hold our noses in order to vote for a candidate who in other ways has some really good stuff going on? As much as I wasn't right, like a Biden stan during the primary, I think he's got a lot of good stuff going on. And now there's this.
Here is my look. When he was during the primary, he very much was just running totally down the middle, right? Moderate. And the closer that it got towards, you know, toward mathematically him being the nominee, he was adopting some of Warren's platforms and some of Bernie's plans. And I was very heartened by that. I thought that was terrific to see that he was open-minded and understood that he was going to be representing the whole party and not just this sort of sliver that he was running for in the primary. And so I think going forward, you know, Aaron, I'm just not sure that anybody really ever missed the mark by being open-minded and listening. And I think that, you know, just from the perspective, I think that there needs to be further investigation into what happened. And I think that if the Biden people were saying that in earlier talking points, then they would agree with me that people want the resolution. Tara wants the resolution. The Biden campaign wants the resolution. But I think that, you know, one of the things that's always been hard for me is that when my whole windup here is that Biden, to a certain extent over the past couple of months, has shown that he's like not stuck in his ways, I guess, which was something that's concerned me, because it seems as if something that would make Anita Hill's life so much better is if she could just get the apology she feels she's deserves and is deserving of. And like, that's never happened. And so that concerns me. You know, it's like, why can't you just say sorry? It was a different time. You treated her unfairly. Why can't you just say, I mean, I apologize to someone in sixth grade I did something wrong to when I was a fucking grown ass adult. Like, it's not actually that hard to grow. And so I think that an investigation will probably take a long time. But I just do think that right now, for so many survivors out there who feel really just fucking confused and like this whole thing over the acceptance of the idea that women have the right to tell their story, you know, to them feels a bit maybe like garbage right now. And so to me, it would just go a long way while this is further investigated for the vice president and his campaign to do like some meaningful outreach to people who might be feeling really burned right now, but also who's not just whose vote they need, but I mean, well, yeah, I mean, if you want to be crass about it, it's like, I think so many of us would feel better knowing that there never may be a true and final resolution to the story if we thought that they were taking what this story means to people really seriously, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know that was very roundabout way of getting to what my point was, but
no, I think that makes perfect sense. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be more about this. I mean, if there's not more about this, then we're just going to be stuck in this weird limbo for a long time. And I'm just going to have to, it's a new thing to feel anxious about, which is great because I was running out of things.
Yeah, me too.
Getting to feel anxiety about. So
fuck, man.
Oh, God. Do we want to end on a high note? Do you have any toasts?
Yeah, I do have a toast. Do you have a toast?
No, I want you to go first.
My toast is silly. I think everyone on Hysteria knows of my deep love for Little House on the Prairie. And last week when I was on Twitter, I saw Melissa Gilbert Busfield, a.k.a. Half Pint, hate tweeting Donald Trump. And it's like, you know, when you always like you have your idols and you're like, God, I hope that they don't do something that makes me think that they're not as awesome as I thought they were. And when she hate tweeted Trump, I was like, I can die now. Like half pint hates Trump and thinks this Lysol shit is fucking nuts. And honestly, it just I was not feeling my best when I was watching all this go down. I just had a nice chuckle in my fleece. You know, I was like, fucking hey, way to go, half pint.
That's how I felt when Axl Rose tweeted a picture of his ballot and wrote, vote blue, bitches.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's like this whole group of like 80s hair metal guys who are now like, fuck Donald Trump. It's really funny. Sebastian Bach, I think.
Oh my God, you know that I love like 80s hair metal.
I could have guessed, but I didn't know.
Yeah, I did. I do. I love Guns N' Roses. Well, GNR.
There's a, if you want to go on a fun Google dive, there's like a bunch of those guys from that era who are just like, they just cannot stand Donald Trump. And it's pretty amusing. A lot of them tweet about it. Tommy Lee hates Donald Trump too. I have like a miniature toast. I just want to toast the Pentagon for finally giving America the truth.
Yes.
This week, the Pentagon has officially released three short videos showing unidentified aerial phenomenon. UFOs are real, guys. UFOs are real. And the Pentagon statement was, after a thorough review, the department has determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems and does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena.
So into
they're
it.
they're really trippy. If you look at the videos, it's like exactly like an Unsolved Mysteries dramatization. And I am so glad that we're not alone in the universe, because maybe the aliens can come and give us a vaccine for COVID and we can get back to normal.
I mean, it makes sense that they'd be around more than they had been. It's like America is in the hands. I mean, look, big, you know, popcorn blockbuster movie, America Saves the Planet. And they know that's an utter farce right now. And so maybe they're like, yeah, you know, doing a little advance work.
I'm trying to think, it would be, if any country saved the planet right now, it would be, and you know what? I think it would be Germany.
Yeah, it would be Angela Merkel or
it
any
would probably be
of the other countries led by women that flattened the curve.
Yeah, it would be Germany or like Finland,
New Zealand.
Oh, it might be New Zealand. Mm-hmm. New Zealand. I think it'd be New Zealand.
Jacinda Ahern. She just can't help herself.
You know, she rode her bike to Parliament when she was still like super pregnant. She would like ride.
There is She's crazy. About that woman I don't love. It's like, oh, mass shooting. I'm taking your fucking guns. Bye, bitches.
Yeah, she was great. I want to say one more thing about the UFOs, because they are extremely exactly what you would think. Somebody who worked on the program said, these aircraft, we'll call them aircraft, are displaying characteristics that are not currently within the U.S. inventory, nor in any foreign inventory that we are aware of.
So So when we were talking about this the other day, my husband was Harry Reid's chief of staff for 6 years, and Reid has constantly pushed to fund this program. And it was just like one of those things, Aaron. I was like, come on, Aaron and I might talk about this. Give me some goss. And he's like, what do you need to know? They're aliens. I was like, what? Is it true? And he was like, you have to call Senator Reid. And I was like, God damn it. But I just believe that they're all aliens or women. So there you go.
Awesome. That sounds great. I'm reading an Ursula K. Le Guin book right now involving gender and space. And so this all really dovetails well with my current life. Alyssa, thank you for sticking with me for this tough convo. Ugh. And I am looking forward to talking about something else next week.
Let's hope there are more aliens.
I want to meet them. I think they'd be cool.
We'll have them on Hysteria.
Oh my God, we would. Yes. Aliens, if you're listening, please guest on Hysteria, on Sanity Corner. We want to know what it's like in space when you're starting to feel stressed out. Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
And welcome back. We've reached the Brady Bunch part of the program where there are 3 people talking in squares to each other instead of just 2. I want to welcome the 2 wonderful women that I'm really glad to see both of your faces, even though we haven't been in the same room for quite some time. First, I want to bring in an actor and a writer on the show Broke, which is currently airing, right?
CBS Thursday night.
Grace, it's Grace Parra.
Hi, guys.
It's so good.
Hello.
So good to see you.
It's so good to see you. It's really, it's wonderful.
It's, yeah, it is. Everything's wonderful.
Everything's just peachy.
Next up, she's an actor and a writer, and she's in the new Ben Affleck movie, which is now streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they streaming it?
Oh, yeah. It was in theaters for a hot sec, and then the virus, and now streaming.
There's still posters around that are like, one last chance, and it's like Ben Affleck, and it has the date March 6th, and I'm like, oh, Michaela's movie. It's Michaela Watkins. Hello, welcome.
Hi. No, the movie's called The Way Back.
The Way Back.
Yeah.
I've heard it's good. I've heard it's really good.
He's amazing in it. He's amazing
and
in it.
Also features Al Madrigal, who is another writer and actor on Broke.
What? And he's terrific. He's outstanding in it. I love when they take comedic people and give them serious parts. It's nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Comedy is just acting like you're not in pain, right? So I would imagine being.
I think that tracks.
You're just masking the pain with some like wit. So it makes sense that some comedic actors are really, really gifted dramatically as well.
Oh, yeah. I know. All comedy is just, you know, 14 layers of icing on the cake.
Yeah, defense mechanism.
But the cake's still there.
The shit cake is still there, exactly. So for many, it's a layered, multi-layered shit cake.
So one thing I've been seeing a lot in the last few weeks are people kind of jokingly talking about all of the, like, personal care things that they can't do now that quarantine is happening, or that there's no reason to do. Like put on pants, you know? Like, if you're not leaving your house, do you need to put on pants with a button? You know, there are other things like get a haircut, dye your roots, get Botox, all these things. What personal care, I guess, routines that you used to have you abandoned during quarantine?
There's one thing that I'm proud of that I've done in the last week, and it is actually bringing back a routine that I had given up. I assumed that my gray roots would be gray for forever. And then I ordered a kit online and I dyed my hair myself, and it was triumphant. And I didn't get the shade right at all. I mean, I'm like, Four shades off. It's this weird light brown. You can't really tell, but it's not gray. And so I'm really proud of myself. I had to do something because my hair, I think, had grown 2 inches. I'm lucky, got a full mane, thick and unruly. But my God, did it need to be colored? So that's a routine that I picked back up. But I don't like pants. And now that it's, you know, 97 degrees in LA these days, I'm wearing a lot of, skirts, shorts, a lot of shorts. Love a denim short. Mm-hmm. Love a denim short. Yeah.
Michaela, have you abandoned any typical like self-care?
Everything. Every single thing that pertains to like aesthetic self-care has gone south is for the winter. It is like, here's a fun thing. I thought I had so much more gray hair than I do. So that's the upshot.
I was the opposite. I have so much more than I thought I had.
I mean, maybe coronavirus gave you more gray, you know, gave it.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a lot of stress, but.
Wedding planning during a quarantine gave it to me.
Yeah. But you know, you go to work every day where you sit 90 minutes in a makeup chair and somebody's like, oh, it's time to do those roots. And I'm like, really? Really? Because if I wasn't on a TV show, I would, do this like once every 6 weeks, I think, you know? And, yeah. And so now that it's coming in, I'm like, what has everybody got their panties in a twitch for? I mean, it's fine. It's like, yeah, it's great. I mean, there's grays, you know, but it's like, yeah. It's not called a midwife. But I don't wear bras anymore. And, I don't wear,
I don't either.
No bras and no waistbands. There's anything that cinches around my middle. You know, I used to wear Spanx every day at work, sometimes two pairs. Oh. No, I'm not even kidding. Oh. Not two, a double spanker. And I am now waistband free. I don't know how I'll ever jump in a pair of those. I don't know how I'll ever wear a heel again. There's some hair on the legs. I do. I'm very like the armpits is you got to shave the pits, you know, that's not up for negotiation, but I
always find it admirable when women don't, because it's like, I wish that I was that type of woman and I'm just not that type of woman. So, yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. I hate being able to smell myself.
I know a yoga instructor who dyes her armpit hair like neon blue and stuff. And
what?
Well, she's got, you know, this yoga body and then like neon blue armpit hair. And I can't square the two for some reason.
I can't get with that.
I mean, if I had that sinewy, you know, physique, I think I'd keep I don't know.
Keep them.
Yeah, I don't know if I could celebrate the armpit hair that loud and proud. But anyway,
I recently took up Clinical Strength deodorant. Ordered it online. It was available, and I was like, "What if I did this?" And love it. Game changer. Didn't know I needed it.
What does that mean? Now I know Clinical Strength.
More aluminum? I don't know.
Oh, more Alzheimer's. I have a drawer full of, you know, honest products or whatever, like natural things.
Yeah.
And I, when it comes to antiperspirant, like I wear the kind that was built in the lab, and because of coronavirus and because I just had a move, I found them and I've been using them, because if not now, when is what I tell myself.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's a part of me that thinks, so I think everybody's kind of given up on some stuff. I mean, everybody's baking bread, right? I mean, I'm not baking bread, but everybody else seems to be baking bread.
Yeah.
Somebody's eating the bread. I'd imagine people's physiques are changing commensurately to how much bread suddenly everybody is both baking and eating. Mm-hmm, people aren't dyeing their hair, or they're dyeing it a color that is triumphantly off, as Grace, as Grace Parra did. People aren't doing, like, they're not getting, I don't know, this is LA. So people are, you know, people get facials, people get, you know, injectables in their face. There's a part of me that thinks like, could we all after this just make a pact to continue to look like this?
Oh my God. Please. I hope so. I hope it, because something went so awry back in the like 90s, I think, because we were on such a good trajectory when we were wearing your boyfriend's jeans. Literally, they weren't called the boyfriend jean. They were your boyfriend's jeans. They slouched around your whole body. You wore a white t-shirt, you tied a flannel around your waist, and that was your uniform, and, you know, high top Converse, and that was it. And I was like, This is fantastic compared to what my mom had to wear in the 50s, like, you know, armored bra and things like that.
I think that we have to start recruiting people like Gigi Hadid, who is pregnant, from what I understand, because I don't think she's going to want to wear like skin tight things right now either. So, you know, I don't know, by the way, that she's officially pregnant. I just read a headline yesterday, but I think it's interesting because if we can start to get people like the supermodels, who I think would be more inclined to show off those bodies, into our camp of never wearing bras or, you know, anything other than sweatpants again, that would be, that's the start of a movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want us by the end of this to just be floppy titted beanbag chairs and Birkenstocks. That would, to me, would be the post-corona lady look. I would be so happy with that.
Yeah. What if this is just how we look now? What if that's okay? Like I was also reading, like, did you guys see, there's a news story this week about a mayor in a Texas town who, made all the nail salons close, except she made one open so that she could get a manicure for herself.
Yeah.
This has made me think she also is like the exact, like, close your eyes and think of what somebody would call a Karen or a minute. Can I speak to the manager? Kind of a lady. And that's her.
She's a Karen DeVille. Do you see what I'm doing?
It made me think painting. You know what? I don't know if I'm ever going to get a professional manicure again. It's not that hard to paint your fingernails. Yeah. I can do that myself. Even if they look a little crappy, I can do that myself.
That's like kind of what I mean about in the 90s when we were all, nobody did their nails. Like nobody plucked their eyebrows. Nobody. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe it was Friends or something happened. I was like, network television got this filter and they were able to just turn it up and everybody all of a sudden looked like Disney princesses. And then reality television came out. So they wanted to mimic, like, they pulled, you know, women out of Albuquerque who are now going to be on TV. And they were like, I want to look like a movie star, you know, with the filter. And so then everybody just started making their faces and dressing like, you know, like kind of like a cross between prom queen, porn star kind of thing. And then reality television with, like, you know, like I said, The Bachelor and Real Housewives. And then that was it. And then everybody thought, oh, this is how we should walk around in our lives.
The acceleration of like glistening and glowing on skin and the products that we were using to artificially make that happen was accelerating so quickly that there was really nowhere else for that to go. Like there were no more divots to contour. There were no more things to apply highlighter to. And I think this gave us a little pause to be like, wait a second. We didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
And if we want to do those things, there are Instagram filters that can do it for us. Speaking of filters, Michaela. Mm-hmm. So can we maybe just make a pact where we all look like shit, but know that we can turn on an app that will just make us look better, even though we don't.
I think Zoom even has like a touch up. Did you know that?
I read about that.
No, it's in your thing. Like you can.
Really?
I can't see a difference.
Speaking of Instagram, Grace, this has kind of shattered some illusions of like Instagram from before. Like one of my favorite things, like there's not that many people who actually have houses that look nice. Most people just have these sweet regular houses. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with the shattering of the Instagram aesthetic, of the millennial aesthetic, because it's nowhere. The only places it exists is on your phone and an app designed partially to make you feel bad and like you need to buy things.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any of the NFL draft this last week?
Oh, I did. And the shittiness of the houses of team executives.
I loved it. There were just drapes everywhere. Throw pillows,
like bad throw pillows. Like,
yes, it was all home goods and I loved it. It made me feel warm and fuzzy, comfortable inside. And I couldn't agree more, Erin. It's so nice to have that just totally dismantled.
Yeah, it's, you know, just like the illusions of everything are shattered. And, you know, I wouldn't even say anybody looks like shit. When I go out into the world, walk around my neighborhood, I mean, people's faces are covered with masks mostly. But if I go to a park where like people are social distancing enough that masks aren't necessary, nobody looks like shit to me. Everybody looks fine.
No, we look fine. In fact, we probably look better because we're giving our face a break. Our face is like not getting heat, you know, all these chemicals and all this attention, all these hands heaped onto it constantly. It can breathe. We're just like a big Dove ad.
Do you think after this, though, that people are going to, we're like a big Dove ad? You know, I'm going to go on a little rant here, but the thing that always bugged me about the Dove ads was like, the point of it was like, it was, they'd show women of all different shapes and sizes and colors. And like the point of the ad was like, they would cry because they were like, I am beautiful. But like, does being beautiful need to be a thing that prevent, like worrying about whether or not you're beautiful need to be a thing at all? Like, wouldn't that be nice if like beauty was like a third level quality that you strived to have?
That ain't like, gonna sell your Dove products.
That's true. That's true.
Unless they were crying about how happy they were that they're so clean.
Right. So clean. Cleanliness now is way more important than beauty.
Cleanliness.
I think if they did do one and they're like cancer chemical free. Oh, and it's just a bunch of women getting, you know, clean bills of health from their doctors. It's like a
reality TV commercial that's sort of long form. And it's like, we put these 12 women, we didn't tell them where we were taking them. We put them in the middle of the woods with no change of clothes, barely enough food and drink to live. And 10 days later, we came and picked them up and we let them take a shower with Dove. And the women are like, oh, a shower.
I'm so great.
Naked and afraid.
I feel
sponsored
naked.
Sponsored by
and
Dove.
Oh, my God. Do you think after this is all over, which it might never be all over, but after we've kind of gotten back to a place of normalcy, what do you think people will change? Do you think people will rush back to like wanting to be glam again and like eyelash extensions and spray tans? Or do you think people will stick with what they've done when they've been stuck at home?
I think people are going to run back to that shit. I think for a week, everyone's going to be like, I'm different now. This quarantine changed me and I don't need the same kinds of things that I needed before. And then, you know, there's going to be like a, hey, do you want to get your eyelash extensions done for 12 cents? Come on in. And then somebody will be like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do that shit. No problem. And then we're right back to where we were. All it takes is one person. It just takes one woman to be back on that bandwagon. And then everybody else looks like shit in comparison. So we all feel like we got to compete.
It's an inversion of Wall-E. It's like where one person went jumping in the pool and everybody was like, there's a pool. It's gonna, you know, it's everybody being like, oh yeah, we can look better than this. We can look better than this. Yeah. I think people are also gonna not have money to spend on these things and have learned how to, you know, do their own toenails and fingernails. And I personally like how my eyebrows have grown back in. I've been wanting that. I don't know if you guys know this about eyebrows. If you overplucked, they don't just grow back in where you want it and then you just pluck around it. They actually have to start on the outer edges and you have to let the outer edges grow so that it can fill in. So like, yeah, you
got
to go full bush on the eyebrows before you can start to take them down again. But because, you know, again, if you work on a set, everybody's like, you have a errant eyebrow, you know, and it gets plucked. And so they've been thin and now they're coming in very full.
That's another way the 90s were fucked up. The 90s were super fucked up to women.
Yep.
A lot of casual misogyny in 90s movies and 90s TV shows.
Preach. But yes.
What they made us do to our eyebrows is it's unconscionable.
It's casual violence to women. That was, I think, is the headline of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I appreciate, and I think it's very funny that like in Latin American culture and Chola culture, that like Latin American, we have very bushy eyebrows, like real, real, real thick. And yet we just embrace that whole, like, I'm going to shave all of it off and pencil it in with one thin line above both of my eyes. And like, man, the commitment to that movement was impressive, very impressive, but also not.
I mean, you want to talk about carbon footprint. I was flying from Vancouver to LA and the woman sitting next to me was flying from Vancouver to LA, and we got chit-chatting. And she said she was flying to LA to get microblading on her eyebrows. And I was like, that's all you're doing? She's like, yeah, I have an appointment, because our flight was delayed. We were sitting on the tarmac. And she said, I have to make this appointment. And then she was like on a 3 p.m. flight back to Vancouver, microblading on her eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she was a beautiful woman. But I just was like, really? You can't find someone in Vancouver? What? I can't.
What?
That seems like so. Was that pre-pandemic times?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, all of that seems so passé now. Like, flying to Los Angeles to get one single medical procedure that is elective.
Yep, flying back the same day.
Also, microblading, no offense to those who have gotten it done. I think it works for some people, but I don't think it works for everybody. I think that it is tattooing your face is what it is. And it fades in an orangey way. It fades orangey, and then you got to upkeep. No one talks about
it. Just dye your hair orange, Grace. Gosh, easy.
Maybe that's the move.
So, like, beyond just like self-care stuff and like the expression of womanhood, I was thinking yesterday about other things that will probably go away forever after this, and some of them I'm hoping will go away forever. What do you guys think about cruises? Do you think cruises will ever happen again?
I mean, look, I don't even understand why anybody would take a cruise in the first place, pandemic or no pandemic. That to me is my personal hell.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, hey, does anything bad happen on a cruise? Let me just Google that real fast. Oh, everything terrible happens on cruises. And if you want to be on a big, terrible hotel in the middle of an ocean, I get that it sounds amazing. It's nonstop, all you can eat buffet, drinking. If you hope, you better freaking love your family. And I think this pandemic is going to prove if you do or not. But it just sounds like my personal hell. It just sounds like, here, go into a hotel that you can't leave. Just sounds horrible.
Yeah, they're petri dishes. And I can't imagine how you modify a cruise in a way that will still be appealing to people, the buffet namely. I mean, I'm thinking about how, like, I'm reading these articles about how Hollywood is talking about what's going to happen when we come back and we're able to be on set and we're able to, actually like film TV shows and films, whatever. And everybody's talking about how craft services is just going to go away. The idea of being able to, you know, be like 100 people in a tiny room grabbing nuts from, you know, a communal space, whatever, is gone. But the same thing is applicable to cruises too. Like, we're not just going to be able to have beef and broccoli sitting out for 8 hours and have people randomly come shove it in their faces when they feel like it. And we're all going to have individual containers of food, which is much less romantic, I think. And, you know, fine for a work scenario, but I think if you're electing to be on a cruise, like, the buffet is kind of the appeal. Casinos too, by the way. I love a casino buffet.
I love a casino.
And the casino experience in general is funny to me. It sounds fun. I could not believe the Las Vegas mayor, by the way.
I don't know if
you saw that interview like a week ago where she was like, open the casinos. And Anderson Cooper's like, but how? And she's like, I don't know. Anderson, I'm not the one who owns casinos, so don't put words in my mouth.
And then she said, I don't gamble.
Entertaining.
And then she was like, it's not my problem. I don't own the casinos. I'm like, you do know you're the mayor. I just feel like somebody was sitting in her house with like a gun to her children's head, and she was just like, open the casinos. It sounds great. I love it. What a great idea. Oh, that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. The I don't gamble part was great. Yeah, the cruise thing. I mean, people were already getting very sick on cruises with deadly diarrhea. So, it was kind of amazing to me that they kept surviving. I think one of the reasons people go on them is if you have people in your family, like if you're going to do like a multi-generational family trip and there's some grandparents and maybe some people have difficulty getting around, a cruise is really good because you're all trapped in the same place. Nobody can just like run away. I've been on a cruise before. It was with an ex's family. They did not get along. So every meal ended with somebody storming off. it was a lot of storming off. The weather was really bad. We went from New York and we were supposed to like dock near Disney World in Florida and then have a day trip to Disney World.
Aaron, this just sounds horrible.
And then we were supposed to go to the Bahamas for a couple of days, but one of the engines broke in the ships.
So we had to
cancel Disney World, and there were all these kids on the trip. And there was a day where they were like, guys, Disney World's canceled. And it was like the most, like, I felt really bad for the kids, but it was like, oh, wow. And then the weather was really bad, and it was, I'm surprised I didn't get sick. It's just so,
yeah,
they're not going to, and they also like waste, they're so bad for the environment. They're so like,
They're scourge. They're bad for the environment. They're bad for the oceans. They're bad for the fish. They're bad for the people on them. They're bad. They're just bad.
They're good for people who need to, who work on them in some cases. Like if you're an entertainer and you get a gig on a cruise, that can be kind of good. But really that little glimmer of good is not really worth all of the bad. One more question before we move on to Sanity Corner, guys. Have you been keeping physically active? And if you have been, how have you been doing it?
I have been trying. I have been trying. It walks fine. That feels good. I try to do that every day, first thing in the morning. That feels good. That's the one like routine that I have that's like invigorating and gets me out in the world and, you know, smelling nature, whatever. Everything else has been terrible though. Like I can't consistently do yoga or whatever. I followed like the first week of quarantine, I was like, I'm going to take up doing dance classes online. I followed like 6 different Instagram dance influencers. I unfollowed them all this past week because I'm like, I don't do any of this. I don't do any virtual classes. I'm not there on time. It feels weird to be like jumping around in my living room. And I don't know. It's not right. So my limbs are all atrophied, and I am the banana bread maker and eater that you were referencing earlier, Aaron, whose body is just like, oh, fuck it. So that's me.
I've been doing intermittently Ryan Heffington's, you know, Instagram, it's online dance thing. It's a live dance class on Instagram. He's a choreographer, you know, in town, if you don't know him. And he is just love and light. And I just cry through the whole class. I just dance and sob. And cause he does this thing at the end where it's not even a dance class. Like you don't have to learn a routine. I mean, a box step a Alaman, right? Like that's about as much as, you know, dance moves as you're going to get. It's just like a free dance, and you dance silly and you dance stupid and you dance like no one's watching, but there's 6,000 people doing it with you all over the world. And I just cry because I feel so connected. And at the end he goes, we'll get through during a cool down. He's like, we'll get through this. We'll get through this. No. We'll get through this. We'll get. And I just like, we'll get through this. We'll get through this. I'm just like sobbing.
That's so sweet. He is wonderful.
But that's, and then we hike and walk our dog. You know, we're not in LA, so our hiking trails are open here. And that's been a real savior. Yeah.
That sounds like you are about to join a cult.
I know.
Like this Ryan Heffington thing. I hear a lot of people who are so inspired by him. Like, I know, you know what? The first part of a cult always sounds really fun.
Oh yeah.
And then you got to move to a town in South America. And the next thing you know, you got like congressional investigations and Kool-Aid. And
I wish.
Yeah. I mean, I wish you the best. It all sounds very inspiring.
Thank you so much. And we all like have shepherd fairy sort of styled pictures of Sia on our t-shirt.
Oh, man. I've been working out to the point of like muscle pain 2 or 3 times a week. Like not cardio, like weights and like push-ups and stuff.
Oh, that's so smart.
But I can do push-ups the man way now. I can do 25 of them in a row.
Wait, hold on. I have, before quarantine, how many were you able to do? How many like man push-ups?
8.
That's huge.
I'm angry.
Congratulations.
I'm angry and I'm trying to deal with it in a way that is, I mean, like I spend a lot of time like wanting to break shit. And it's like, well, I guess I'll just do push-ups and squats with a heavy weight and all that stuff. But yeah, working out has been good. I'm glad that everybody's like at least trying to sort of take care of themselves. I always feel good when I see like people that I haven't seen in a while and it's like, oh good, You look good. You look yeah.
good. What would you do if we all like, if we came to the Zoom all out of, what would, how, I'm just so curious. Just, what would you?
I don't know what I would do. I mean, like you asked me on Instagram the other day, would you tell me if I was being obnoxious? And I was like, no, but I'd probably screen cap and shit talk to a third party.
Which I think if you're on Instagram, you're sort of like, you have to open yourself up to that possibility.
That's part of it. That's part
of it. Which speaking of, I do have a problem on Instagram with the amount of like, I think if you're making big, elaborate, luxurious dinners for yourself every night, that has to move to a private text chain with like your good friends.
Yeah.
I could not agree more.
There's some legit suffering out there and I see it and like my asshole clenches because I'm just like, well, you know, good for you. Bully for you and your big dinner.
Can I say that I think most of, if not all of Instagram live mm-hmm. content mm-hmm. should go away with the occasional dance class, which seems like mm-hmm. it's very beneficial. That's cool. But a lot of people are like, I'm just going to Instagram live my entire day and I don't want to see it. I'm not here for it. I don't want to. I accidentally sometimes click on it and then click out, especially if I see that there are four other people watching. And I think that that option is available to yeah. many people to Instagram live yeah. their lives.
It's kind of just like watching a conference call that I'm not in. And I mean, in some cases, yeah. it's like, oh, these people are interesting. I want to hear them talk. But sometimes it's just like, oh, I don't know about this. Okay, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk Sanity Corner.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, guys, before we get to Sanity Corner, I am going to drop in a little plug for something we've been doing that has helped us stay sane throughout this strange pandemic time. It is Hysteria Movie Club. And that is where we rewatch a movie that is a classic, or it's a movie that's been around for a long time. And then we get together and talk about it. And here's how it works from your end. You follow Crooked Media on Instagram, and every week we'll let you know what movie we're watching. You can watch along with us, and then we will talk about it and post our discussion on Sunday. So you can check it out on Crooked's YouTube channel, and you can also find some links to it on Instagram as well. But it's a lot of fun. This week we did Heathers. We have a huge list of movies that we're going to talk about at some point in the future, like Grease, Dirty Dancing, you know, movies that you watch when you're stuck at home, movies that we watch when we're stuck at home, and movies that we love to talk about. So tune into that if that's something that you're interested in. And now let's get to Sanity Corner.
Sanity Corner, Sanity Corner, what are you doing to stay sane?
And welcome back. We're at the part of the show where we share with you the things that we're doing to help us get through the weird times between the before times and the after times, which is how we're going to refer to this as though we're like the children from the third Mad Max film, speaking in an Australian kind of pidgin English. Okay, so I will start with Sanity Corner for this week. I love a good Wikipedia dive, but not, I don't end on the Wikipedia article. I try to like find something interesting, read the Wikipedia article, say, okay, I'm into this, and then try to find like the longest article about the interesting thing I possibly can find. And this week I'm going to just, give you a few that led me to some interesting reading, and I'm not going to even tell you anything about them. One of them is a woman named Nancy Wake. I think you should Google Nancy Wake. Another one is a totally different type of person named, David Friedland. Another thing I Googled this week, the series finale of the show Dinosaurs. Yeah.
Love that show.
I know. And it has one of the most bizarre series finales of all time. Bizarre and sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are really good Wikipedia lists of missing people who turned out to fake their death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a really good one. Cause that gives you a whole bunch of like fake death people. And it tells you all the dumb shenanigans that they tried to pull. Like there was this author, who was sort of this eccentric who had written a book that had no punctuation in it. And he was just kind of weird. And he faked his death just because he wanted to see how sad people would be when he died.
Oh my God.
And at his funeral, he saw that his wife wasn't sufficiently sad. So he divorced her after he was like, I'm alive and we're getting a divorce because she wasn't sad enough.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
Good Wikipedia diving
that
this week.
That sounds like an anthology series if I ever heard one.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. He sounds like a quite a weird man. Michaela, do you want to go next?
Sanity Corner. Well, my last few days have been utterly insane, and I had to move. I had to move out of our LA rental. You know, when I worked there, I've been in that house. My husband and I have been in that house for 9 years. And right before the pandemic, the owner said, "I'd like my son to move back in." So he said in July, and then the pandemic happened a week later. Literally, we were in lockdown a week later, and my husband just said, well, we're not going to work anytime soon. Why don't we just get out and just be here where we live. And so moving during a pandemic was the most insane making thing in the entire world, because there's nothing like three men with no sense of personal space, just huffing and puffing and putting their hands all over all of your belongings. and right when I got there, I was like, we're going to stay this far apart from each other. We're going to wear masks and gloves, and I appreciate you, and I love you, and I honor you. And I would make you a 3-course meal if there weren't a pandemic. But because of this, you know, this is not personal. And then within seconds, these guys were like, gloves were off, masks were off. They're like, ma'am, where would you like this? You can't see, but I'm sticking my face into the camera. Like, they were just up in me. And you know how like people who have OCD have to confront their triggers? Like if you want to turn the light switch on and off 20 times, you can only turn it on once. And then you have to like stand back and sit with the horrible feeling of germs and everything all over you. You know, I've been so OCD about this whole pandemic and the whole like not getting it, like the fear around not getting it. And I was just dipped and bathed in all of the COVID, all the 19s, like all of it, just like wrapped in it, that it kind of broke me. And I feel like I've come out the other side of like, you know, like, you just do the best you can. And I'm just like, now I'm like a freaking, you know, Midwestern, like farm wife who's just like, well, you know, you just do what you can and leave the rest up to God. Like that's me now. And I'm sane now, thanks to that. But I will also say that in the space of not working, have started to go to therapy again. So to be very literal about Sanity Corner, it's something that I've kind of, I used to do in my 20s, my late 20s and my early 30s, and I loved it. And I've stepped away from it for so long because of just simply logistics and time. It was like all I was doing was rescheduling a person instead of going to therapy. And so I started up again, and it's been really amazing to have the space to like to do it. And I realized, you know, that's a real luxury of this. And but it's the little corner I carved out for myself. So that's what's happening.
Nice.
I love it. I love that.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I love that you were broken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you're going to a place of fixing. And I'm curious what the newly reassembled Humpty Dumpty Michaela will look like.
I like the Midwestern flair that Humpty Dumpty Michaela has.
Well, you know, you gotta put the gloves on if you want to get the get your hands in the dirt. So you gotta do it and take them off.
You gotta let go and let God.
You know, live, laugh, love. You know. Live, laugh, love.
Oh, sure.
Yours is pretty good, Grace. As a Midwesterner, I gotta say.
You know, I'm pretty, I feel the spirit of the Midwestern woman within me, and I like her a lot. I like to let her come out when she feels soulful.
Let her out. Let her breathe.
Let her live.
Let her live.
Okay, Grace, what's your sanity corner?
Okay, so speaking of breaking and then being put back together, this is not a novel hobby that people have taken up during quarantine. You've heard a lot about it, but I have found so much sanity in puzzles. Oh, I love a puzzle. I found a brand that I recommend. It's called Ravensburger. If you can get a hold of a Ravensburger puzzle, I have this beautiful 2000 piece beach scene that I'm doing right now. A 2K.
Ooh, a 2000er.
The quality of each piece is like, I care about the quality of puzzle pieces now. Who knew? It's beautiful, thick cardboard, elegantly made, a beautiful, like deep blue background. Anyway, I have found a lot of pleasure in that. And I did not think that I would. I'm not a huge puzzle person. But there's something that's so soothing. I turn off my brain. And speaking of, the other thing that I'll say is knowing my limitations has been part of my sanity corner. And I'm so curious if anybody else out there has this experience, but I have been generally unable to function between the hours of like 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. And rather than pretend that I can, I just know that and get through those hours as best I can and work my schedule around those hours so that I can be functional in the morning and in the evening and basically zone out for those 3 hours. And I don't know why, because it's like it's not like I'm eating these heavy, you know, elaborate lunches, like with four martinis or whatever that would cause me to feel tired between 2 and 5 PM. But maybe it has something to do with the fact that it's hot now in LA. And during those hours is when the sun is like really hitting heavily in our home. But those afternoon hours, I can't do shit. And rather than feel bad about it, I just accept it. And I'm like, you know what, Grace? If this is just this is your witching hour. These are the hours where you can't do anything, and that's okay. And then, like, you know, I'll get like one thing done during those hours and feel good about it. I will put chicken to marinade so that I can then bake it at 5 or whatever for a couple of hours and have dinner. Or I'll, you know, make one phone call or something. So that's been, you know, I think in a non-quarantine period, I would push myself, or I'd be like, all right, well, I got to get that coffee going. And I'm not really a coffee drinker anyway. So I would, you know, spaz out on some decaf, or I would do something to force myself to try to be productive during those hours. And now I'm just embracing it and saying, like, you know what, this is me. I suck during those hours. I'm not going to get anything done. Live, laugh, love.
You know what? What you just described is a siesta. And I think,
yes,
I think, you know,
yes.
We got to bring that back. We got to bring back. I mean, we got to bring it here. We got to bring it to America.
Yes.
Or the U.S. It's like, that was my favorite thing. I lived in Italy when I was in college, and I just loved everything just shut down. And it made all the sense in the world. And I hear that people, you know, execs, friends of mine who work at Netflix and things, the Zoom calls became too much.
Yeah.
It was because they could conduct everything online all of a sudden. The Zoom calls became so much that people just needed a break. So nobody was allowed to schedule any appointments between 2 and 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
And they had a natural 2-hour break. talk about things that you hope continue in the after, what are we calling it?
The afterlife?
The aftertimes. I hope Siesta is one that we adopt.
I love, you're so right. I had not connected that to Siesta lifestyle,
but. That's a great idea. 2 and 5 PM is like my depression prime time. Like, cause I get really anxious and depressed. It's like, I can't read cause I'm so sad and anxious. So I should just knock myself out for 3 hours. And then once it starts becoming the end of the day and the light starts changing, I'm fine.
It's but why like, the French can drink wine way. With lunch. Cause they just go night, night. And then they like, you know,
and then they go wake.
Maybe I'll do that today. Maybe I'll have a glass of wine with whatever Josh makes for lunch.
Yes, that sounds nice.
I love that. I love that idea.
It sounds great. Guys, thank you so much for coming by. Thank you so much for sharing your sanity corners with us and for talking about how your lives are going. I miss both of you dearly. And I
miss you guys too.
I hope, I look forward to the next time we can all be in the same room because that was fun and I didn't cherish it enough when I could. Thanks to Michaela and Grace for coming by today. Thanks to Alyssa Mastromonaco for also coming by. And thanks to you, the listeners, for listening every week and for going through all of this with us. And there will be more Hysteria next week.
Hysteria is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thank you to Juliet Beckstrand for production support and to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadina Melkonian for filming and editing our video content every week. Peace.